have been going through my mind and the things in which I feel like the Lord's placed upon my heart this day. Sunday school hit pretty close to home today. I didn't get into the last, but the things that were being talked about are things that I'm going to talk about today. You know, I'm not different from many of you, and the things that I do in my life, that I try to make sure that I do the right things. I don't always succeed, but it's my heart that wants to do the right things. And I catch myself at times just going through the motions of being a child of God. You know, the things that we do unconsciously sometimes or consciously, do we really realize who God is? And do we really realize who we are? I think sometimes we try to put God in our box and what we think he should be. There's a song by Phillips Craig and Dean, and part of that song is God's not created by human hands. God's not dependent on any mortal man. God is not in need of anything we can give. God is God, and that's the way it is. And I have to remember that God is God, and that's the way it is. I have a saying that I try to remember every day. I don't do a good job at it, but it comes to mind time and time again when I start thinking a little bit more highly of myself than I ought, and it is, God is God, and I am not. There's a, when you open up your Bible, and I'm not going to read all of this, but in Genesis 1:1, it starts out, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created. And in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I've heard this saying from time to time, and it took me a while to kind of understand why this one individual says what they say, and it says, God created man, and then we returned the favor. It took me a while to kind of let that sink in, because I think we try to put God in our image instead of him creating us in his image. And when I say that is, it's we try to put God in our thinking, the way that we think humanly that God should be. That doesn't work. I took my mom to the graveyards last Sunday, where I was at last week. And I was listening. It's about a 45-minute drive to pick her up. And I was listening to a Christian radio station, and there was a sermon on, and it was hitting home pretty good. And part of that sermon was, is God's not our employee. We don't tell God what to do. We try to, I think, in our prayers sometimes. But he's the creator of all the universe. He created everything that is. And we don't comprehend it. I don't comprehend it. I've fallen into the trap that Satan puts me in from time to time, and I think, God, if you'll just do this, well, then I'll change. I'm putting demands on God. Who am I to do that? Who am I to make demands of your creator of all things? Who am I to think that I can tell God what to do in any circumstance? Now I've forgotten where I'm at on my notes. Isaiah 55. And that's why I remember that God is God and I am not. I have to mark my spot. I'm getting old and I forget where I'm at. Isaiah 55, verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from the heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it." God's thoughts are not our thoughts. When we're in situations to where we think the best, we don't always know the outcome. God is omnipotent. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. When you start down either the path of righteousness or you start down the wrong path of unrighteousness, he knows the end thereof. He knows what'll happen. And he doesn't take away our choice. It's still our choice to take either path. It says in the Book of Mormon that he will give us the desires of our heart, whether to righteousness and salvation or to damnation. He can't take away our choice. He won't take away our choice. It's all about choices. I go to the Book of Mormon. I'm going to go to page 220. It's a lot of people's favorite verses. And it's good. And it's good that it's some favorite verses of people. It's the Book of Mosiah, the second chapter, and I'm going to read 13 through 15. Where King Benjamin says, "Believe that man doth not comprehend." Whoops, 13. "Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend." We cannot comprehend all the things that the Lord can comprehend. He has his purposes, and he will bring them forth in whatever manner he sees fit. It's not for us to tell God what to do. It's for God to tell us what to do. Because we did not create God in our image. He created us in his. I'm going to go to Helaman. I'm going to go to page 584 now in the Book of Mormon. This would be the fourth chapter of the Book of Helaman. I'm going to start at verse 53. And it says, "Oh, how foolish and how vain and how evil and devilish and how quick to do iniquity and how slow to do good are the children of men." True statement. "Yea, how quick to hearken unto the words of the..." Excuse me. "Yea, how quick to hearkeneth unto the words of the evil one, and to set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast and to do all manner of that which is iniquity." You know, I have to be careful because there are things that I can say that, look what I did. Stan said, I like photography. Look at that great picture I did. I didn't do anything. If it weren't for the Lord helping me do anything, I couldn't do it. Same with all the rest of us. And how slow are they to remember the Lord their God and to give ear unto his counsels? Yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's paths. Behold, they do not desire that the Lord their God, who hath created them, should rule and reign over them. Notwithstanding his great goodness and his mercy towards them, they do set at naught his counsels, and they do that, and they, excuse me, I must need new glasses, and they will not that he should be their guide. Are we not the same way at times? We know best. We know best for our lives. We know the best thing we need to do to guide us down that path. No, we don't. And I haven't been around a whole lot of years, but I turned 56, the June 6th. And I have found out the older I get, the less I know. When I was a teenager, I knew everything. Ask my parents. But I have found out when I think that I am one of the smartest people that I know, I find out real quick, I'm not. Verse 57. And how great is the nothingness of the children of men, yea, even they are less than the dust of the earth. We were made of the dust of the earth. But yet in the things that we do and the way we think at times, we are less than the dust of the earth. As Paul said in one of his writings, that he kicked against the pricks, those pricks of his heart, the things that God was putting in his path to call him forth. For behold, the dust of the earth moveth hither and thither to the dividing asunder at the command of our great and everlasting God. Yea, behold, at his voice doth the hills and the mountains tremble and shake. And by the power of his voice they are broken up and becometh smooth, yea, even like unto a valley. Yea, by the power of his word doth the whole earth shake. Yea, by the power of his voice doth the foundations rock, even to their very center. Yea, and if it hath, yea, and if he saith unto the earth, move, it is moved. Yea, if he say unto the earth, thou shalt go back, that it lengthen out the day for many hours, it is done. And thus, according to his word, the earth goeth back, and it appeareth unto man that the sun standeth still. Yea, and behold, this is so, for sure it is the earth that moveth, and not the sun. And behold, also, if he saith unto the waters of the great deep, be thou dried up, it is done. Behold, if he saith unto the mountains, be thou raised up, and come over and fall upon that city, that it be buried up. Behold, it is done. But when he talks to Mark Hill and he says, go do this or go do that, lots of times it's not done. And I think I'm the same as all of us. When God speaks to our hearts and says, hey, go over here and talk to this person, we ask, why? Why? I don't need to know why. I just need to go do it. But in my mind, I ask, why? I guess I'm like the 3-year-old that goes around asking all the questions. And one of the big ones that comes out a lot for hours on end is why? I really don't need to know why. It's a lack of faith on my part because God knows what he needs done. And I just need the person to do it. Be the person to do it when he says, Mark, go talk to so-and-so. And I was thinking of Job, and that's where I'm going. Job had everything that he had taken away. I'm going to go to the 38th chapter. That's where I'm going. He had all these things taken away, and he had his wife and his friends. They were all giving him all this counsel. All this stuff. Job held up pretty good for quite a while, but I feel like he got wore down like many of us do when we have trials in our life, when we have illnesses and sicknesses or whatever it might be, trials in our life. You know, in the same sermon I was talking about last Sunday, this fellow was talking about that he showed the disciples what faith was. You know, when he fed the 5,000 people with, I was going to say the number, but I forgot how many loaves and fishes. It wasn't very many. But he fed the multitude of it, and they saw that, and they witnessed it, and they knew their faith. But shortly after that, they were on the sea, and it was tossing them to and fro. And in the night, Jesus came to them on the sea, and they wondered what it was. And only one had the faith to ask Jesus, "Let me come forth." And this preacher asked, where was the faith at? Was it in his first step he took out of the boat, or the second? Because the first one, he was still in the boat. The second one, he was up on the water. But he showed him this, but he showed him what he could do with miracles before that. And then he tested him. And I'm wondering if that's not what happens in our life at times. We're shown how great God is, and we feel like our faith is strong. But how do we really know where we're at in our walk if we're not tested? Like in school, we have tests. How do we really know what we know unless we're tested? How do we really know where our heart's at unless we're tested? I don't like tests, but I know they have to be. They show me where I'm lacking more than what I really know. And that's the good part, because then I can work on where I'm lacking. Anyway, God spoke to Job after a while, and in verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. To me, it's like, who are you to even question me? Go over to chapter 40. Basically the same thing. Chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. For what shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. He understood that God is God, and we are not. But yet God created us, and He does care for us. And David knew that well. I'm going to go to the 8th chapter of Psalms. I'm going to read the 8th Psalm. Because it's a question that I have from time to time concerning the fourth verse. But I'll read it all. It's not very long. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set the glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? I think that from time to time. Who am I that you even care? But he does care. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. But I ask myself, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We're an enemy to God in the flesh. It was talked about today in Sunday school. He does care about us. Because in the Old Testament, he gave them laws. He gave them ordinances to follow on a strict basis. And he did that they would remember their duty to God, to remember who he is, to remember that he created all things, to remember that he is the one that guides them. He's the one that took them out of Egypt, led them across the sea. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to buy us back that we might have salvation. He does care for his creation. If he didn't, he wouldn't care if we went to heaven or hell. But he does. And he puts people and he puts things in our paths to guide us to that place that he wants us to be. And that's heaven. I'm going to go to page 247, the book of Mosiah, the seventh chapter of Mosiah. Page 247. Abinadi was sent to a people, King Noah's people. They were an evil people. He was sent there with a message, and he proclaimed this message to them. He proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, and he talked about the law of Moses and why it was that they had it. And this is before Christ's day. And in verse 113, I'll start. And Abinadi says, "And now ye remember that I said unto you, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of things which are in heaven above, or which are in the earth beneath, or which are in the waters under the earth." So that means take all the pictures out of your house, take everything that looks like anything of his creation, and get rid of it. No. There's a reason he said that. There's a reason he gave that commandment. And it goes on to say, and again, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. That's why. It's not that we shouldn't enjoy his creation, but we have to remember that it is his creation. And we're not to worship his creation, we're to worship him. And again, thou shalt not bow thyself down unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's a day that we're supposed to remember God, or to worship God, not just to go about the ordinances of coming to church and praying. That's good. But if our heart's not there, what good is it? If in our hearts we would rather be somewhere else, does God recognize it? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I'm going to go on into the 8th chapter. And it came to pass that after Abinadi had made an end of these sayings, he said unto them, have you taught this people that they should observe to do these things, for to keep these commandments? See, we always need things in front of us to remind us of who God is, to remind us that we do have a duty to remember God, that we have a duty to worship God and to do the things that he did command us. I say unto you, nay, for if ye had, the Lord would not have caused me to come forth and to prophesy evil concerning this people. And now ye have said that salvation cometh by the law of Moses. Does our salvation come by just the doing? No. We can know all the ordinances of the Old Testament. We can observe all the commandments that we have read in the Scriptures. But if we don't recognize that Jesus Christ came and died for us, it does us no good. All we're doing is going through the motions. Yeah, those motions are good because they're supposed to lead us to Christ. And if we believe that Jesus Christ came to buy us back from our sinful state and to take our sins upon him when he died on the cross, then it's obedience that we go into the waters of baptism and take upon him his name. Do the waters save us? No. But it's an act of obedience that's got to be done. Jesus did it and he was sinless. What verse am I at? 5. And moreover, I say unto you that salvation doth not come by the law alone. And were it not for the atonement which God himself shall make for the sins and iniquities of his people, that they must unavoidably perish, notwithstanding the law of Moses. And now I say unto you that it is expedient that there should be a law given to the children of Israel, yea, even a very strict law. For they were a stiff-necked people, quick to do iniquity and slow to remember the Lord their God. Therefore there was a law given them, yea, a law of performances and ordinances, a law which they were to observe strictly from day to day, to keep them in remembrance of God and their duty towards Him. Are we not the same? We need things in front of us. Do we observe the law of Moses anymore? No. But they needed to in that day. They didn't recognize in that time that it was pointing them to our day, pointing them towards Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to the first chapter of Mosiah, page 209. King Benjamin it had become aware to him that he was getting old and frail, and that his time of being on this earth was coming close to an end. So he appointed the kingdom unto his son Mosiah, and he gave him the plates of brass and the plates of Nephi, gave him the sword of Laban and the director or the ball, which guided Nephi and Lehi and his clan to the promised land if they were faithful and did what they said to do. And if they are unfaithful, they stopped working. Verse 25, therefore, as they were unfaithful, they did not prosper nor progress in their journey, but were driven back and incurred the displeasure of God unto them. And in verse 26 it says, and therefore they were smitten with famine and sore afflictions to stir them up in remembrance of their duty. Are we not the same way when times are good we forget who God really is? I do. I'd like to remember that God is the creator of all things and that He is the one to be worshipped all the time. Ooh, I don't like trials and afflictions, but they're put there to bring us back to remembrance. To bring us back to remembrance of our duty to God. Now, I have a fear for this country that we have gone so far off track that the things that are happening in this country with the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the government we have, no matter which side of the right or left you're on, you have to admit, our government's not the government we need right now. And it's not just this administration. We have gone so far off track that I don't know as we have good men to stand up. And it scares me. Because I'm worried that we're going to be smitten with famine and sore afflictions to bring us back. This country is so prosperous that when the Twin Towers were brought down, we remembered God for about, 2 weeks? I'm sorry, it just upsets me. I love this country. But I think we're in for worse times. I don't know that. I haven't been given a knowledge. But when I see what God has done throughout history to bring His people back to Him, I believe that something's going to happen. Seventeenth chapter of Luke. As a people, we are swift to forget our God. Anyway, Luke 17. Jesus is talking here. And in verse 7 he says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? or go and sit down, it's time to eat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all of those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Do we try to compromise with God and say, well, if I do the things you want me to do, then maybe I'll win the lottery? If we do the things we're supposed to do, as the same in my work, yeah, I get a wage. But it's doing it for the doing's sake. You know, we're not God's employer. We've been asked to do a duty to recognize God for who He is and worship Him and His Son and do it from our heart. Matthew 22, this was talked about in Sunday school also. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, and he's asking Jesus a question. He says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Have all this law, which is the greatest one. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. It was discussed in Sunday school. The whole law of Moses was pointing towards Jesus Christ, but it was pointing towards worshiping God and loving our neighbor as ourself. Everything is involved in those two. Because if I love my neighbor as I'd want to be loved, if I would do unto others as I would have them do unto me, I would do good to them. All of them. Even the ones that agitate me. In John 14:15, Jesus says, If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I just read you the two greatest commandments. You know, I say that I love Jesus with my lips. But if I don't keep his commandments, especially in my heart, do I really love him? It's a question. Because he says, if you love me, keep them. 26th chapter of Matthew. I'm winding down. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith to the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He knew his time was up. His crucifixion was drawing close. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, Jesus, even being the Son of God, would rather have that cup taken away from him than have to go through all the pains and the whippings and the crucifixion. But he said, Thy will be done. We sang a hymn. It's hymn 179. You might take a quick look at it. It's what I'm not gonna sing it. Not solo anyway. But when we sing our hymns, do we really mean it from our hearts also? Because we sing praises to our Lord. And it says, All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. And then the chorus goes on to say, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I ask, where is our Gethsemane? Where is it that we reach the point to where we say, I surrender all? What's Mark Hill's point of surrender? Where I can truly, truly say from my heart, I surrender all. I mean, we sing it, but I was thinking this morning, I don't surrender all. I would like to think I do, but in my heart I know better. And that's why I have to remember, God is God and I am not.
Brother Jay.